Let us look at Leviticus chapter 6 while the notes are being given out. Let me do a quick revision of what I did last week with regard to the study of the bull or bullock, the ox and the cow. You will remember I told you last week that the ox was a picture of the sinner, in that an ox was a castrated creature, and being a castrated creature, it was not allowed to be offered to God. Therefore, it is the same as with a sinner who is cut off from God, cut off from Christ, cut off from the commonwealth of Israel, cut off from the promises of the covenant. And therefore, the sinner is not related to God at all. He is not in relationship with God. He, in a way, is spiritually castrated. Then we also learned that an ox was a beast of burden. And being a beast of burden, it would also picture the sinner carrying his burden of sin upon himself. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ said on earth, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ on the tree bore our sins on his own body. Then we also learn that the ox just went round and round and round, treading the mill, achieving nothing much, reminding ourselves of the sinner who fulfills nothing for himself but just is engaged in futile and fruitless work. And that's why we read, "The fruits shall not save the sinner." And so that's about an ox. Then we came on to the bull or the bullock. And we learned that the bull or the bullock, the bull would be an uncastrated adult bovine member of the family. And we learned that the Lord Jesus Christ was that bullock or bull. Bullock in the King James Version, bull in other translations, which should be an uncastrated animal that was given and offered in the burnt sacrifice, that was given in the sin offering, and that was given in the peace offering. We had time only to deal with the burnt sacrifice, where we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the bullock, was without sin, without blemish. Because that was the requirement of the burnt sacrifice, that it must be without blemish. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ did no sin, knew no sin, in him was no sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was also without guilt. And that's why Pilate was able to pronounce him as the one, "I find no fault in this man." And so we find that the Lord Jesus Christ was that sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savour that was offered to God, and God was all pleased with him. He was the one sacrifice, a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto God. And so he fulfilled the burnt offering. In the burnt offerings in the Old Testament, God was not pleased with it. But the Lord Jesus Christ therefore came, and he fulfilled the requirements of the burnt offering, and he said, "In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God." And so the Lord Jesus Christ was the burnt offering. But the Lord Jesus Christ was also the sin offering. And being the sin offering, we find that he shed his precious blood for atonement. Because it is the principle, as laid down in Scripture, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And therefore we find that the priest lay his hands upon the head of the animal in order to confess the sins. And so we find that we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we claim him as our Savior when we confess our sins. And so that's what we had learned so far with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ being the bullock in the burnt offering, the bullock in the sin offering. We had no time to cover the Lord Jesus Christ in the bullock in the peace offering. But I did not have time also to mention three laws in connection with the offerings. There would be the law of the burnt offering. There would be the law of the sin offering. There would be the law of the peace offering. So let me today start off, after having revised the sin offering and the burnt offering, revise the law of the burnt offering. Let us look at Exodus, Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9. Command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and so on. Let us skip to verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. Now, why is that offering called the burnt offering? There are two reasons laid down here why it is called the burnt offering. And this is the law, and it is found in verse 9. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar. Two reasons. Because of the burning. That burnt offering must continually be burning all the time, day and night. Every morning, every evening, the priest must offer that burnt offering upon the altar. Secondly, because the fire must never go out. Let's take the first one, the burning. Why the constant burning? That it must not allow to be ceased. Now, the burning of the burnt offering of the Lord would of course point to the Lord Jesus Christ as the burnt sacrifice who offered that offering once and for all for us. It was nicely read to us just now in our meeting from Hebrews chapter 10. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, we read this, and you remember from Hebrews chapter 10 verses 3 to 7 or 3 to 9, we already proved that Jesus Christ is the burnt offering. And on the basis that Jesus Christ is the burnt offering, we read in verse chapter 10 and verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 18. Now there were verse 17. And their sins and iniquities were remembered no more. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. You see, the burnt sacrifice on the altar must be constantly burning. Why? Because that burn, there's a set efficacy. The efficacy of the burnt sacrifice avails for always. It was not availed for only that time. It availed for always, and it was a picture to point to that one sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ offered once and for all. And the efficacy of that offering that was offered would last forever, so that there would be forever no more a remembrance of sins, but forever forgiven. This was why the burnt offering must be offered all the time, to point to that sacrifice when the Lord Jesus Christ would offer himself once and for all, no more to be repeated. Secondly, we note also that there was a second reason, and the second reason was the fire. The fire must not be allowed to burn out. What was so special about this fire? Let us look at this from Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9. Now, when Moses had finished constructing the tabernacle, you remember that I read to you last week that the glory of the Lord came down upon the tabernacle, and no one else was allowed to go into the tabernacle anymore. And the Lord from henceforth would lead his people by a pillar of a cloud in the daytime, and by a pillar of fire at night. And that pillar would always be hovering above the mercy seat, in the just above the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat would be. Now, it says there, after the completion of the tabernacle, chapter 9, verse 23, or verse 22 for connection, Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people, blessed them, came down from offering of the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offering, verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, and came out, and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came out fire from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering, and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Do not ask me how, but it happened that when the temple was completed, when the tabernacle was completed, and when Moses and Aaron had come out of the tabernacle so that they could never go into the Holy of Holies anymore except once a year on Atonement Day, there came forth a fire from the Holy of Holies through the curtains right to the altar of burnt offering, burn the sacrifice. How the fire went through the curtains without burning the curtains, I do not know. But it's recorded there that the fire came from before the Lord and burned the sacrifice upon the altar. And that fire must never, never, never be allowed to cease burning anymore. That fire, you remember, on the Day of Atonement was the same fire that would burn the incense. And let's look at chapter 16. Chapter 16. A description of the Day of Atonement. And we read in verse 12, the high priest, Aaron, shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his handful of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring within the veil. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest must take one, a censer of incense, and then another one of fire from off the altar before the Lord. That fire that burned the burnt sacrifice that day, that fire which was kept burning, must be taken to light the incense, which would then allow him to go into the Holy of Holies, where after having put the incense on the fire, there will be thick cloud of smoke to cover the presence of the Lord, so that he could enter and sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. That fire was not to be allowed to stop burning. Now, some people think they are clever. They think that they can still worship God without needing to go to that fire of the altar, the fire on the cross, so to speak. And they will come out with their own fire. And who did that? The very sons of Aaron. Imagine that. The very sons of Aaron, who should know better. But they never knew and they never learned anything. Chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. Oh yes, they thought they were too clever. Why should they use the fire from the altar Why should they use a fire? They could worship God. They could still burn incense to God. They should worship God in their own way. That, according to God, was strange fire. Strange fire. And it is important that when we worship God, that we know that our worship, for example, on the Lord's Day, worship like this. This worship is based upon the very sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not based upon our own emotional feelings. It is based upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the basis for which we worship God. In remembrance of Him, that is the important basis. And so they offered strange fire, these two, Nadab and Abihu. And as a result, in verse 3, Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Eliezer, and the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near and carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. Sorry, I forgot to read verse 2. And there came, went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. They refused to use the the fire from the Lord. And fire from the Lord came out to devour them for using strange fire. And result was, it says that in verse 5, so they went near and carried them in their goats out of the camp as Moses had said. And in verse 6 and so on, even Aaron was not allowed to mourn for his two sons because they burned strange fire before the Lord. Let us be more sanctified, be more reverential when we come to worship the Lord. And we must know and keep to what He has laid down for us as we go on to worship Him. As we bring our burnt sacrifice to Him, let us burn that sacrifice unto Him as required by Him. Well, that's the law of the burnt offering. Next, we go on to the law of the sin offering. The law of the sin offering is found in chapter 6 and verse 24. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. Alright. This is the law of the sin offering. The sin offering, that block, must be brought to the altar of sacrifice and there be killed there. It cannot be killed anywhere else. It must be killed at the place where the burnt offering was killed. Where was the burnt offering killed? Chapter 1. Verse 11. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. It's very specified there. The burnt offering must be killed on the northern side of the altar, not on any other side. And it was there that the burnt sin offering must be killed, nowhere else. And after the sin offering had been killed, it could not be offered on the altar. You remember? It could not be offered on the altar because it was a sin offering. Only the fat from that sin offering could be offered on the altar. The rest of the bullock, the sin offering, must be taken outside the camp to be killed, could be burnt. Why this law? The sin offering can only have its effect on the basis, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ being the burnt offering. If the Lord Jesus Christ were not the burnt offering, the Lord Jesus Christ could not be the sin offering. If the Lord Jesus Christ was not prepared to do the will of God, to come and offer himself, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. And that's why in the Garden of Eden, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And on this basis, he qualified to be the burnt offering to die on the cross for us. On this basis, we come to God's presence based upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross because He was a burnt offering. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because of that, He became the sin offering. And that's why we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, He who became, He was made sin for us. Meaning He was made a sin offering for us because He knew no sin. He knew no sin is His sacrifice as a burnt offering. And so we find that the sin offering can only have its effectiveness provided it is killed in the place where the burnt offering was killed. The Lord Jesus Christ could only be the sin offering because He was the burnt offering. Well, that's what we finished with last week. Concerning the burnt offering and the sin offering. Thirdly, we come now to what we did not finish last week. The Lord Jesus Christ as the block of the peace offering. Chapter 3. Alright. In your NIV and other versions, the peace offering is translated as the fellowship offering. And it's right. The Lord Jesus Christ is the peace offering as well as the fellowship offering. Because He is the one offering that brings about fellowship. Now, what is the proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is the peace offering or the fellowship offering? Keeping your finger in Leviticus chapter 3, before we study the requirements of the peace offering, let us look at this medium of the peace offering. It must be a bullock. It must be a bull. Perhaps we can read about it first. Leviticus chapter 3. If his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, here it can be a male or female, so it can be apart from a bull, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord, and so on. Now the first thing I want to establish is that the bull that is used for the peace offering is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ too, who brings about peace and fellowship between two parties. What are the two parties? For the fulfillment of this type, this picture, we look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and we read verse 14. For he is our peace. In other words, he is our peace offering, who has made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were near. For through him we both have access into one spirit unto the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is a peace offering and brings about fellowship between two parties in two ways, or with two groups of people. Firstly, he brings about fellowship between those who are far off and those who are near, as we read in verse 17. Who are those who are far off? Those who are far off in the context, as we read, are the Greeks, the Gentiles, all of us. Those who are near are the Jews. Now, there has been enmity between Jews and Gentiles. Jews looked down on Gentiles. But through the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ as the peace offering, he broke down the wall of partition between the two, and he brought about fellowship between the Jew and the Gentile, so that they formed one new entity, as we read in verse 15, a new man. And this one new man, of course, is the body of Christ, the church. And in the church, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, for both are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So through the Lord Jesus Christ as the peace offering, he brought together fellowship, Gentile and Jew. But secondly, he went beyond that. Not only did he bring about fellowship between Jew and Gentile to form the church, but he brought about fellowship between man and God also, so that we read in verse 16, he might reconcile both. Both would mean Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain his enmity thereby. God and man were enemies before, and that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19-20. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ as the peace offering, reconciling both Jew and Gentile on one hand with God on the other hand, so that both now can have fellowship. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, the very means of fellowship. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 3 to read more of the requirements of the peace offering. So, the bull would signify or would be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who brings about fellowship between Jew and Gentile, between Jew and Gentile and God. Now, what are the requirements? Chapter 3, and we read verse 2. Now, verse 2 concerning the blood. The blood. The bowl would be the medium of fellowship. The blood must be shed and the blood sprinkled upon the items of furniture to bring about, in the tabernacle, to bring about atonement. The blood would be the maintenance of fellowship. The bowl would be the medium of fellowship. The blood would be the maintenance of fellowship. Now let us all realize that although when we first trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins had all been forgiven, our iniquities will be remembered no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions, and our sins have been thrown in, have been cast into the depths of the sea. Now all this has been done once and for all. But still, before we meet Christ and we enter into the age of perfection in heaven, we are still on earth and we still sin. That the principle of sin has been got rid of, but the practice of sin is still there. And therefore we need a maintenance to keep us holy before the Lord as we live on this earth. If perhaps we need to look at 1 John, it says there in chapter 1 of 1 John and verse 6, chapter 1 and verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses of all, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, what we need to know is this. The sin principle has been got rid of. Our past sins, present sins, future sins, all have been forgiven. But while we are in this flesh, the nature, our own nature is still with us. Our sinful flesh is still with us. And it causes us to sin now and again. And to maintain a holy and righteous life before God, so that this sin does not come in as an obstacle in our fellowship with God. For sin, where there is sin, God cannot have fellowship with us. So in order for us to maintain that holy and righteous fellowship with Him, without the obstacle of sin, God has provided us with a maintenance of that fellowship. And that maintenance of the fellowship is the blood of Jesus Christ. So that it says there, and the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Please note, in my King James is very clear. Cleanses us, meaning present tense. Keeps on cleansing and cleansing and cleansing us. Now, why does it need to be that, to cleanse us all the time? It says, if we sin, we confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses. For the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that is what we need. Today, if we sin, we come to God, cleanse, ask Him to forgive us. And when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for our sins. This is the maintenance. Thirdly, let's look at the best that is required for this fellowship. Let's look at chapter 3 again of Leviticus. It says there in verse 3, He shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is in them, which is by the flanks, and the fat above the liver with the kidneys, it shall be taken away, and Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Please note, in a very, very detailed process, the fat of the peace offering is removed from every detectable part. Where there is fat, it must be removed. And this fat is then collected. Its fat is then put upon the altar of burnt offering, and it is burned unto the Lord. But I'd like you to note, please, that in verse 5 it says there, the son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice. The fat is burnt upon the burnt sacrifice. Why the fat specially to be burnt? Because the fat, chapter 3 verse 16, is the Lord's. The fat is the Lord's. And that's why even in the sin offering, every other part of the sin offering must be completely removed and burnt outside the camp. The fat must be on the altar. The fat is the best part. As I pointed out last week, the word fat has been translated in Numbers chapter 18 verse 12 as the best, the finest. The best and the finest of that offering must be laid upon the altar for God to appreciate. It's not for man. And so the fat is for the Lord. The best is the marrow of that fellowship. Thirdly, or fourthly, we look at the breast of the offering. Take a look at chapter 7 now. Chapter 7. Verse 30. This is also speaking about the peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be weighed. Then, verse 31, and the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar. The breast shall be Aaron and his sons. Please note, the breast shall be Aaron and his sons. Verse 32, and the right shoulder shall he give unto the priest for a heave offering. The breast of the offering is to be given to Aaron and his sons. The shoulder or the thigh must be given to the priest. This is the only offering where God shares the offering with the people. God takes the fat. Aaron and his sons take the breast. The priest take the thigh or the shoulder. The rest, the offerer can even participate, as we can read in the Thanksgiving offering. Now, what does all this mean? All these refer to the meal of the offering. The meal of the offering. This is one meal offering, one meal of the peace offering, where God shares the peace offering with so many people. And what is that offering where God shares with his people? Here, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the meal of the meal with whom he shares with all of us. And this meal offering is the offering, this Lord's Supper is the Lord's Supper that God shares his Christ with all of us. You find it a privilege? Very important that when we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, we must be sanctified and prepared for it. This is one privilege the Lord has given to all of us, where he shares his Christ with us. And that's why we cannot take lightly the Lord's Supper. Every Sunday when we come to the Lord's Supper, let us be prepared to remember him and then to lead us to revere, to worship him. Now, that will be the meal of fellowship. Lastly, I don't think I have time to talk on the countdown. The law of the peace offering. There's a law also. Let's look at chapter 7. I read part of it just now in our Lord's Supper service. Verse 11. Chapter 7, verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offering, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer before the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mixed with the oil of fine flour. In other words, verse 12 has to do with the meal offering described for us in Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2, the meal offering is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? And in that, when the cakes are offered, the cakes of the meal offering must not be leavened, because it pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be no leaven with any type that portrays him. Then, very significantly, in verse 13 we read, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, his peace offering. Now, his peace offering will be the bullock. But together with the bull, he will give cakes. And these cakes must be leavened. To show us, as I pointed out just now, that we still have sin. And this is our peace offering. Thanksgiving. As we give thanks to God, let us realize that our thanksgiving can never be perfect. That our thanksgiving, that just now we give thanks to God, we were glad with what He had done for us. All that we gave to Him must have been stained with some sin here and there. Sin because of perhaps of the expressions we used which were not correct. Sin because perhaps of the sin in our lives that we have not confessed and that with our mouth we open to praise and worship Him. Sin because we have not gotten into the right relationship with Him. All this, even as we thank the Lord, our thanksgiving is stained with sin. And that's why it is important, it says there, with regard to this law of the peace offering, that when you give this thanksgiving offering, that bullock, that bull that is offered to God, the flesh can be eaten, as I said, the flesh of the peace offering can be shed. And note please, verse 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But the... Alright? What does that mean? Just as he brings that peace offering unto the Lord, the flesh of that peace offering, the animal, must be completely eaten that day. It must not be left behind until the morning, until the next morning. Everything must be completed. Giving us a very important lesson. Our fellowship with God is a day by day fellowship. Day by day fellowship. Many of us think that, oh, no, 2 years ago I had such a wonderful time of fellowship with God. God was so wonderful to me. 2 years ago or 2 years ago. What about today? Today. Do you experience God as you should? Is God so real to you? What about yesterday? Oh, yesterday I had a very real experience with God. The Lord was very real to me. Good. You thank the Lord. You praise the Lord for what He did for you yesterday. For what He was to you yesterday. Today, you need to have a new fellowship with Him. You do not live on yesterday's experience. You live day by day. Same way with the manna. The manna that was used to feed Israel. Every day the manna will come down. Every day the manna will come down. And if anybody should keep the manna for another day, it stinks. And if the Christian life is based upon past experience, without a present experience with the Lord, it stinks. This is what we must realize. That sometimes we see people very happy and glad, praising the Lord. Cool. But remember, it has to be a day-by-day experience. But we go on. We go on. Verse 16. If the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offers it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing, that shall not be eaten, it shall be burned with fire. And as for the flesh, all who are clean shall eat thereof. And so we read. There is still another allowance. That if you give a vow or a voluntary offering, well, you are allowed to keep it until the next day. But that's only for 2 days. The third day, you must burn it. You must not live on that second day experience. Third day, you must burn it. Finish. Have a renewed fellowship with God again. regard to the manna. Monday, Tuesday, first day, second day, third day, up to the fifth day, the Lord will rain manna upon the earth. But on the Sabbath day, there will be no more. Friday, the day before, the Lord will give a double portion to prepare for the next day. 2 days. But after that, no more. You keep that over the second day, it stinks. And it tells us again and again that we need to have a right relationship with God day by day. It's very important. And if you just live on a past experience with God, then it avails nothing. Your thanksgiving, your praise, your worship must be based upon a day-by-day experience with God, walking with Him. So that is the fellowship offering. This is the law. This is the law. And if you do any, if you live on a past experience, then that thanksgiving that you give is not recognized. You still have your iniquity with you. That's what it is. Now, I'm so sorry. I've got to end here. Alright? I finished with the peace offering. The Lord Jesus Christ in the peace offering. I still have not touched on the cow. And never mind. It means that you are now equal with everybody else. Because all the other assemblies, I have also not finished with the cow. So, we'll leave the cow to another occasion, if there is opportunity. But, let us realize, there's so much in the Old Testament for us to learn. So, I finish with this. Do not be an ox, but be a cow. Unfortunately, you have not learned what it means to be a cow, and follow after the bull. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example. He is the one who is the bull in the burnt offering, in the sin offering, and now we have seen in the peace offering. May the Lord bless all of us together, even as we go through this year of the bull. Let us be faithful to Him always. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that in the volume of the book it is written of Him that He came to do Thy will. Help us, O Lord, to do that will also, that we may be burnt sacrifice unto Him, that we may be what He wants us to be. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to Thee for this day and for the days to come. Grant, Lord, that our walk with Thee day by day will ever be sweeter as each day passes by. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.